you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Vinny Goodwill.
I think the Cooper Flag experience is very, very real.
How ridiculous do you think the hype will get?
I mean, like, look, we've seen Caitlin Clark, right? You tell me, considering this could be your tribe, right? You tell me.
He's Jewish.
And I remember.
My daughter says that you're half Jewish.
He's just the good half.
The last American-born white player to go to college, turn it out, go to the league, and fulfill all the promise, if not exceed it, was one Larry Joe Bird.
If you're a Laker, he's the devil incarnate. If you're from Boston, chances are you're Catholic, but you'd sell your soul for him.
Ain't it about time that y'all churned out another good one? Y'all are lagging.
We're due.
I'm tired of the black dude having to carry you people. I'm just joking.
I'm leaving you people.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
Can you help get some brothers into baseball then? I mean, look, if we're going to do this...
Y'all don't want us there. Y'all don't want us there. Y'all steer us towards basketball and being wide receivers and cornerbacks. We don't even get the middle linebacker positions no more. Like, we're starting to phase out of there, too. We are literally in danger.
Hey, Philly drafted a white safety this year from Iowa.
Y'all drafted a white safety from Iowa? Y'all couldn't even get one from USC?
There were literally people on the moon. Before Alabama had black guys in their secondary. Does anyone understand? There were white corners. White cornerbacks. You understand how preposterous that is? Some of you are too young to have ever even seen a white corner. They're extinct. They don't exist. There's two left at the San Diego Zoo. And they won't reproduce. You'll never see a white corner.
One, two, three,
and here we go, Jim. Here we go. Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Thank you for hanging out with us at the beginning of All-Star Week. It's Parkins and Spiegel. Shane and Tanny are here. We're all in all week. We're going to the Cubs game on Friday with some lucky winners from the mob and the suite. We're very much looking forward to that. But as we look back on the first half of the Cubs season, we'll do a little White Sox also coming up in, 15 or 20 minutes or so. It was hard to ignore some of the most talented players on the Cubs. And we can do them individually and then talk about maybe how they value skill sets as a collective in a little bit. But yesterday was the best game of PCA's Cubs career.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
He showed power, plate discipline, took a walk, and then made excellent catches in the field look easy.
Yeah, very, very smooth, covering a ton of ground.
Coming into the right, going back to the left. Mm-hmm. You know, the ball was flying at Wrigley. Just like showed a tremendous amount of range in center field and hit a big home run.
Yeah, there was one of them to deep right center that he made just, you know, comfortably on the run.
When he like ran right into the wall and just didn't slow down his stride at all.
And it's the kind of stuff that doesn't end up on highlight shows, really, because it doesn't have flash to it, because his angles are good, his routes are good, and he's so damn fast.
Yeah.
And then, oh, by the way, a couple homers, both on breaking balls off Miles Michaelis. That'll work.
Yeah, that looked like a replay. On the home runs, because like you said, same pitch, but just the
you've been high on him. Yeah, well, I mean, look, I was very high on him early, and then I saw an offensive approach which really troubled me and freaked me out for a while.
So the reason that I have been maintaining that I'm not selling any stock in the guy is because some of the stuff is so two of the tools are so obvious that I could watch a game with Steph, who doesn't really at all care about baseball, who doesn't pay attention, and she's watched enough baseball in our relationship where she could see him, be looking up from her Instagram, see him running on the bases and say, he's fast. You know, it's noticeable. It's like when I notice Duncan Keith on defense. When I'm like, I'm not a guy who can scout hockey, but I'm like, that guy is better at defense than anyone that I've ever seen before. When things jump out off the screen to casual observers, mm-hmm. it's something to be cherished and celebrated.
And I don't know if this will come up again. You said you're watching games with your wife. Dustin mentioned the same thing about his wife and PCA earlier. She apparently not a fan.
Kept saying, hey, you know, PCA, your guy just hit another home run. She's like...
Whoa!
She doesn't. Wait, like... Was that John Triffin or Dustin? Was he called that's Robert Homer?
Did she expound on that? I wonder why she's not a fan.
Not a fan of, like, you know, the Cadillac in it a little bit. You know what I mean? Maybe, you know, that type of stuff.
Oh, so they're perfect for each other.
That's the impression that I got. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
God, imagine dinner at that house.
honey, where's your vest? No coming to the table. Not your vest.
Someone's talking on speakerphone in the hallway today.
My son's wearing a hoodie with the sleeves clawed off. Get out of here.
I saw my son's toes today. He wore open-toed shoes. It's not allowed.
Pete Crow still Armstrong.
Can't wear shorts at work, by the way.
Yeah.
No shorts at work. Keep your toes covered.
Pete Crow Armstrong tied for second for sprint speed as measured on the base pass.
Behind Bobby Witt, right?
Behind Bobby Witt Jr., Johan Rojas, the Phillies center fielder, and Elly De La Cruz, same speed as Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah.
Elly De La Cruz is the same speed.
And so the reason for me with him, it's pretty simple. It's like, okay, 99th percentile speed, 99th percentile glove, uh-huh. and at a premium position. So that adds a ton of value, and it allows you to play Kyle Schwarber-esque players in the corners if you wanted to, because of how good he is at covering ground in center field. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, it has been ugly at the big league level at times. He has at times looked overmatched. But when he got demoted, he started crushing the ball again.
Yes.
And showing power and showing an OPS over 800.
He showed slug, but he showed slug every step of the way in the minor leagues.
But that's what I'm saying. He had 13 games last year. He had 19 plate appearances, mostly against 7th, 8th, and 9th inning relief pitchers. Uh-huh. And so it's like, oh, he had no hits. Okay, yeah, it was a rough debut. He's got 174 plate appearances this year. I don't know which one you subscribe to, whether you think it's 1,500 or 2,000, but like people around baseball say you aren't what you are as an offensive player in the big leagues until you get 1,500 at-bats. The guy's got 170. So if he's slugged at every level of the minors and you know that the defense is there and the range is there and the speed is there, if he slugs at the big league level, superstar.
If, yes.
No, and that's a huge... But, okay, make him average. Make him a league average hitter.
But you can't get to be a league average hitter if you're trying to slug at the big league level all the time. This is my issue, is that he is not, he has not been a guy, even in the minors, a guy with that speed should theoretically be a contact machine who's also walks a lot, try to get on base, scrap your way onto base so you can be that weapon on the bases that you are. If you are a slug or strikeout, or slug or more likely fly out, because it's so hard to be a slugger on the big league level as opposed to all the way through the minors, because the difference in pitching is freaking massive.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive. Then you are not going to be a league average hitter. You're going to be a slug or nothing hitter. And this league is full of slug or nothing hitters. And if that's what he's going to be, then okay.
But also, if you have good, I mean, if he's a 30 home run hitter who hits 200.
Sure.
Is a premium defensive player.
I don't think he can be a 30 home run hitter. Both those home runs were off speed pitches.
Yep.
Like he has been dominated by big league velocity, which is different than the velocity that he has faced at every level. And
it's a small sample that you're talking about, man.
I know, but the approach and what's talked about by coaches and by people around the ballpark in terms of his approach, which I think you can see with him not going to the opposite field. I know I'm a broken record when I talk about hitters sometimes, but like if you are timing it out where you're looking up the middle or looking oppo, then you will, on a fastball that happens to be inside, let your hands do the work and pull those for power. If you're instead like if you're hunting off speed and looking to slug on the off speed, then you will have some like yesterday. I just think for a guy like that, I want more contact. I want a cleaner approach that will lead him to be a league average hitter, even if he can't slug at the big league level. Because I worry about him being able to slug at the big league level.
And again, totally fair. I can't stop thinking when I watched that game yesterday, thinking about what Council said to us a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, in his last appearance when I asked him about his profile as an offensive player.
He is a player that there's been players, very many similar players like this, and it's just it's easy to see his physical gifts for even for fans, right? It's just they just jump out at you. And those players have come with the biggest expectations. And they often come with the largest learning curve too. That's just kind of the way it is. And so Pete still needs at bats. There's no question. Like experience just facing major league pitching, like sometimes it's the failures too. But we just got to keep Pete going in the right direction. He's an unfinished offensive player. There's no question about unfinished hitter. And we've just got to keep making progress with him as a hitter. It's not always linear. And sometimes it's frankly, some of the at-bats are tough to watch. Right. But we just got to keep making progress with him. Because it's where there is a great player in there. You don't know when it's going to come out exactly. But there is a great player in there.
That's a phenomenal answer.
I thought it was so interesting because it's so honest.
It's a phenomenal answer. It's the kind of thing when people have said, boy, I don't know, Craig's giving you anything and these interviews, but just listen. I mean, that is so beautifully put. And he will have days like yesterday, and Council was over the moon about that day yesterday for Pete and talked about it after. But they might be outliers. So they're going to be outliers for a while, and he will need to. I mean, it's funny. I think of Coomer. Coomer was exploding with pride at an opposite field Pete Crow Armstrong double like a week ago because he was like, "There it is! Look at that!" Because Coomer knows that's the way you get more consistent contact and hits over the course of a career and over the course of a season. But sometimes on the right pitch, if you're guessing right and everything comes together, you'll get the bombs, and that'll make the numbers look better. It'll make everything look better. I don't know if it's long-term sustainable.
I don't either. The kid is just so young and so talented, and if he can just get to league average or slightly above with some power, given he's so great at the other things, there's a lot of value there. But I think the conversation's related to Morel. Because Morel...
It is.
I mean, I called superstar potential on him early, and the power is there. But he doesn't have the other thing to fall back on.
Oh, man. In terms of defense, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. Like, he has to be an elite offensive player in order for him to carry that type of value. And PCA doesn't. So I feel like the path for PCA is actually a little easier.
It is.
Even though it's the hardest thing in sports, arguably, to do, hit big league pitching.
Oh, but he, as a center fielder, and I love that they're letting him play defense and be out there and play because he's got a spark to him as well.
It gives him a high floor. But yeah. PCA, this weekend, you saw.
Yep.
The ups and the downs of what he is.
Yeah. And with Morel, you saw the ups and the downs.
Of Morel, excuse me. Yeah,
no,
you saw good. You saw you didn't really see too many downs with PCA because
no.
You don't expect much from him offensively at this point. But no, with Morel, you saw the highs and the lows.
With Morel's day on Saturday, specifically in the second game that they had to try and win after getting blown out in the first game. In the second game on Saturday, they had the bases loaded and one out with Morel at the plate in the fourth. And he got a 2-1 pitch. He worked the count to get a 2-1 pitch. But it was a sweeper on the outside part of the plate, and he took his A swing. He took his big home run swing at this outside slider. And, of course, he grounded it to the shortstop for an inning-ending double play. And after the game, Council said the fourth inning is where we needed to cash in, and we didn't. It's not just Morrell's fault, but he ended that inning with a double play. They had first and third, nobody out with 3-4-5 coming up. And then bases loaded, one out, didn't execute, ended up having a one-run lead that got blown late. At the end of that same game, Ryan Helsley strikes out Morrell with the tying run at second base. Tying run at second base. I think it was Happ. It was on second. And another spot for the B swing, the B hack. Shorten up, try and make some contact, produce in a crucial moment. But all Christopher Morrell was doing was swinging for the fences. And after the game, Cliff Floyd on Marquee talked about Morrell's swing.
Yeah, I'm not here to pounce on him. No, really not. I think he's better. I think he knows he's better than the average he's putting up. And you're right, Cole, you're right about just the game and the game of adjustments and understanding situations. I mean, he has a one-dimensional swing, and his swing is geared to hit the ball at the ballpark. His gear is for slug. And if you can live with the strikeouts, and I'm talking about not just him, but the team can live with the strikeouts, then Morrell will be in his lineup. But when you think about what he's doing defensively, and not that he's played bad at third defensively, but when you think about what's going on in that situation over at third, he's not playing there consistently, and you're starting to strike out in key situations. Mm. I'm not saying he's headed to Iowa. I'm not saying he's going to be demoted. What I'm saying is if he doesn't make the adjustment sooner than later, I mean, it's just obvious. The game, it doesn't give you anything. Sure. You have to earn it every single day. That's what the big league is all about. And I'm hoping that he realizes where he should be living, and that's right center. You know, it's hard to stay there because you believe in your mind that the pitch is coming, and you see, you know what, you're gearing up to hit it. But every take and every approach of his at-bats is geared to do one thing. And that's hit the ball at the ballpark to left field. And these pitchers at the big level are not going to give you that pitch consistently every single time. They'll make mistakes, hence why he has the homers he has.
Absolutely.
So that's great stuff, I thought, from Cliff Floyd, especially the fact that he's constantly thinking about hitting the ball out of the ballpark to left field. And pitchers are not going to give you a good pitch. That's why I mentioned the slider from Kyle Gibson in the fourth. He's not going to – yes, it's a 2-1 pitch. You've worked an advantageous count. Morrell's ready to pound. But he didn't get a pitch he could do that with, and he's still trying to do that. And then comes yesterday when he does it twice.
Yeah.
When he hits the ball out of the ballpark twice – to the exact same spot, to the point that the exact same guy caught both home runs.
Yeah, which is, I mean, fan lottery stuff.
Yeah. So, and those, were those mistakes by the pitcher, like Cliff Floyd is talking about? Probably.
Yeah.
Are they the kind
especially
of...
Especially the second one.
Are they the kind of thing that makes you dream of what Christopher Morrell could be? Yes. But is the ceiling still so incredibly limited as an offensive player because that's what everything is designed to do? Yes. I thought about it as of yesterday morning, and I still think about it, that he's more like Javier Baez at the plate than he can afford to be at this point in his development. And I thought better things were coming along the way this year. And they have not. I mean, as of yesterday morning, it was a 551 OPS over the last, like, 90 days. Or, sorry, 45 days for Christopher Morrell. Absolutely brutal. And then he hits those two home runs, and he's going to stay there. What I don't know, honestly, is whether he's being asked to show a B-hack. Is he even being asked to? Or do they just want him to hit as many home runs as he possibly can, and that's his
role
in this lineup.
Because the team needs slugs
so bad. Absolutely. And so it's not... So I need more information. I'm not pounding on it, because I don't know whether he's been asked to or not. Because frankly, sometimes they don't ask guys to try and do that, because not everybody can do that. It's a hard thing to do, to have the B-hack.
You think that there are guys on the Cubs that when they get into an 0-2 count, the team is saying, still just swing for the fences?
Yes. I think there are guys in MLB who are not bothered, or are being told, don't worry about a B-hack. We got other guys in the lineup to do that. We got other guys to diversify the lineup. You're here to bomb. You keep just trying to hit it hard. And that could be based on their capacity to learn such things, or their ability, or a team just saying, you know what, let's just let him be a power guy.
I don't want to overflood him with information.
Correct.
Think about too many things.
Correct.
Whatever the case may
be. It screwed up Kyle Schwarber. I mean, yeah. If it is organizational, they knew it's screwed. They told Kyle Schwarber to shorten up, especially when they had him hitting leadoff, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And so Schwarber is just a masher, and that's what he is. And maybe as years go on, he develops that B-hack. But sometimes they don't ask guys to do it. But it does. He doesn't have the defense like PCA does. That's to your
thing.
Point.
That's the thing. So the raw power for him is the thing that you can't quit. But if he doesn't give you anything else, it does really limit his ceiling because it leads to a lot of strikeouts and bad defense, and you've got to play him somewhere or you've got to clog DH. Baseball coverage on the Score, by the way, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
You asked me last week whether I thought they regretted not trading Christopher Morel.
Yeah.
And even here today, after a day of two home runs, I found myself thinking about that question. And I bet if a lie detector test was there on Jed and on Carter and on Council, that they would say yes.
That because he hasn't progressed enough defensively?
Or offensively.
They've needed his power this year, man.
I know. they could have. If Canario hits as much as Morel hits, does he have some homers? I don't know. And he's more useful defensively. Could they have had somebody else?
He would certainly have some homers. Would he lead the team in homers, though, with 18? He leads the team in homers.
Yeah. Maybe not. But if they could have gotten
an OPS under 700, to your point, because he's not giving you anything else.
He's not giving you anything else. And if they could have had, if they could have got Emmanuel Clase for him, you know, if you told him, hey, you'd got.
Classy.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's classy.
Yeah, Mr. Peanut.
With the monocle.
With the monocle.
Emmanuel Clase.
I mean, if they could have had that guy as a closer, if that was an option, you know, I don't know. I would bet that answer is yes.
Well, speaking of a hypothetical trade, you and I separately had the same thought on one of the biggest stars in Chicago, maybe having his days numbered around here. It's next on The Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Matt Spiegel got on with some takes that were pure gold.
A little too much Parkinson.
Afternoons on The Score.
And Crochet's got that. Good, good.
A wise person told me, you know, every time that you take them down, you're playing for every team in the league. And that's just the fact of the matter. You never know what could happen in this business. But what I just try and focus on is playing for my teammates and playing the game hard. Out of my control. Yeah.
It's the Parkinson Spiegel Show on The Score, and we are going to be, as a station, all over training camp. This Friday, the Bears report to training camp at Hallis Hall. Tomorrow's when the rookies report. The Score will have in-depth coverage of training camp to get you ready for the 2024 season. And our show at Hallis Hall, Friday, July 26th. We're very excited about that. Bears training camp coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. But baseball draft, as we talked about in transition, not the most exciting thing for fans, but when the White Sox used the fifth pick on the draft on a pitcher,
Hagen Smith, lefty from Arkansas,
makes you... It normally, why are you connecting that to the big league club? Because players take a long time, generally speaking, to get from the draft to the big league club. But the big league club isn't really a big league club right now because they've had more losses than any team ever. It's not a group of all major league caliber players. This team is a, what are you saying? It's the pre-build is what Tanny's been building. They're not even really into the rebuild yet.
I'm so excited. They got the guy that's going to launch the 2028 rebuild yesterday. So excited. They got the centerpiece of that deal.
It's a weird spot, but when they clearly seem to need more hitting than pitching.
Need position players real bad.
Well, how do you get position players? You know, I know it's your game, but I'm pretty sure you could sign them to big contracts. The White Sox don't do that. You could draft them with premium draft picks. They just drafted a pitcher. Or you could trade players for a bunch of premium prospects who are position guys. So it feels like door number one and two are now closed. Does that leave trading Garrett Crochet?
Oh, God.
Four position players is door number three?
I understand why you're connecting it, because in the system and on the big club, They've got a bunch of young arms. Got a bunch of interesting young arms. Drew Thorpe is here.
And they've got some success stories as an organization to say, hey, we've developed these guys and gotten them to be effective players in our farm system and the big leagues.
Most interesting guy in the minors, I think, is Noah Schultz, more so than Colson Montgomery. Noah Schultz is a 6'9" lefty who pitched in the Futures game the other day. He's got a nasty slider and a crazy fastball from an odd arm slot. So they got a bunch of they do have a lot of young arms, and now they've added another. I think they're gonna trade Garrett Crochet, man.
And I
freaking hate it. I hate it. It's like you draft somebody in the first round, are fortunate enough to have him be able to show you that he can do this. And be a guy who not only pitches the caliber of a real ace at the front of a rotation, but has like the personal stuff, has the toughness, has the mindset, is an adult. I was talking about it with Steve Stone yesterday on Hit and Run. Like, Garrett Crochet has the intangibles to go along with the stuff. And I mean, you got a guy. You got a guy. And I think they're going to trade him, and I freaking hate it. Because you don't know if any of the people that you have are going to turn into that guy. Drew Thorpe is not that guy. Jonathan Cannon, not that guy. Noah Schultz, outside chance, I suppose. Hagen Smith, you have no idea. Yeah, I mean, maybe you can dream of it, but you got a dude, man. And I think they're going to trade him, and it freaking sucks.
And listen, I feel the same way about Robert, and I know you disagree on that because they've already paid him, and he's shown that he doesn't have all of the tools, and he with the health issue. But
he's of an age where like he's gonna just he's gonna decay. He's gonna decay at a certain point.
Well, so will Garrett Crochet.
Well, but Garrett Crochet is Garrett Crochet is awfully young.
25.
Yeah. But I think Crochet, I'd bet on Crochet's future way more than I'd bet on Robert's future.
Yeah. I'm not even trying to make it a, I'm just saying they've got two big pieces that could get them a lot in a trade. Robert was excellent just last season. Crochet has been excellent this season. Obviously betting on pitching is an issue in terms of health. You can lose a season in a moment's notice. Now you of course can come back from it, pretty regularly, but the White Sox, this shouldn't come as a surprise. What it would cost to sign Garrett Crochet to a long-term contract would be more than the biggest contract in franchise history.
Yeah.
And they don't pay pitchers. And he's an unrestricted free agent at 28 years old. So,
that's in a couple of years. You don't have to do that if you don't want to. You know, you've got a couple more years here, as the Cubs have with Justin Steele. You know, it's like,
well, right. But are the White Sox going to win in 2025 or 2026?
2026, they ought to be trying to win. By 26, they ought to be absolutely thinking about at least contending.
Well, that's the last year you've got Crochet. So if you're not, then you've got to trade him as a rental piece in that year if he's healthy. So it's, I understand the argument that you are making, but if it was the Dodgers or the Cubs or a bigger money organization that has shown a willingness to give a 9-figure contract to a pitcher,
I hear you.
I'd be right there with you. But because they're not going to buy out these arb years and sign him to like a 4-year, $95 million contract tomorrow.
They should.
I know.
Because but here's the thing. How many others of their young pitchers that they're clearly going to try and build this thing around are they going to have to pay? Like, really, truly pay? You know, if Drew Thorpe is real good, they're still not going to have to really pay him because the velocity is such that it's not going to be something where they can say, well, no, look, this is a bigger arm and you have to do it. Like, this is like the one guy of those arms that they have to pay. And you got to pay some players. It's how the freaking world works.
But Speaks, you know Jerry Reinsdorf. You've been doing baseball here long enough. As long as it's Jerry at the helm, he won't pay any of them. He won't pay Noah Schultz. He won't pay Hagen Smith.
Doesn't have to make those decisions.
Garrett Crochet.
I mean, then what are we doing? What are we doing?
Dude, what have we been asking for years?
What are we doing here?
I don't know what we're doing, Matthew.
Chris Sale's having a pretty good year. Look,
he's still be Cy good. Young.
Chris Sale's still good, still dominating 10 years later.
Chris Sale is
pretty good.
Chris Sale, by the way.
Because he didn't get the vaccines.
Chris Sale is on a potential Hall of Fame track. Look at the black ink on Chris Sale's baseball reference page. Think about 7 straight top 6 finishes as a Cy Young vote getter. He's probably going to win one this year for his first time.
Unless Skeens snatches it from him.
Zach Wheeler get another one, maybe. But Chris Sale got the last out of a World Series for the Boston Red Sox, helped them win a World Series. I mean.
And look what you got for him when you traded him.
Kopech and Yoan Moncada. And
Basabe,
Luis Basabe,
was out of your system in a couple years.
Yeah, so
but they wanted Andrew Benintendi and Rafael Devers. That's who they wanted. All right, so factor that in.
Hang the
All
banner.
Right, they wanted Devers.
Hang the banner.
Put the "we wanted Devers" banner up.
right what? Next to the Machado contract.
The "well actually" banner. Well, actually, we asked for Devers.
Yeah. Well, actually, we were going to defer $50 million on Machado.
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It's a fair question.
Yeah. Not really doing much of anything.
The White Sox will not pay any of them as long as Jerry Reinsdorf is the owner. They won't. They won't.
And my issue here is obviously I want Garrett Crochet to stay. I want him to be extended $100 million, extend your window with him. But I just don't know where these position players are coming from, man. And I was hoping they would take one yesterday, but part of me was like, good, you stuck to with what you know, a left-handed high-velocity arm, good. You know what you're doing there. But I don't know how this roster is going to fill out if they keep Garrett Crochet and they don't extend him. Like, I just don't know where these players are coming from.
Well, we'll see what kind of offer they get for Robert. If you can get a couple position players for Robert, I'd feel better about your possible position player core.
Well, they'll have Michael Conforto in like 5 years. He'll be on the team. Brandon Nimmo at some point will be on the team. They'll find him.
I mean, I'm sure
Sean Figgins is still coming.
Well, here's the thing. When they traded Eaton and Sale, everyone was like, oh, wow, they did good. They got a lot of prospects. Look how good the farm system looks. That's what's going to happen again. If most people are buyers because the playoff field is expanded,
yeah, dude.
And you sell an all-star caliber center fielder and an all-star starting pitcher, you will get excellent prospects. Jim Callis will celebrate you. You'll be a top 5 farm system heading into next year and rinse and repeat.
Yeah, no, and you know what happened yesterday? The Dodgers moved Yoshinobu Yamamoto to the 60-day injured list. He's not back until, at the earliest, late August. At the earliest. So, and Dustin May got hurt, and he's out for the rest of the year because he's having another surgery. So the Dodgers and the Yankees and more will be, and the Padres, who apparently already made an offer that Bob Nightingale reported was quickly, spurned by Chris Getz. So yeah, they're going to get big, big time offers right here, right now, and Crochet is probably going
to
get dealt.
But real quick, to your point, Spies, like, we didn't talk about this enough when they rebuilt it in 2016. But like a lot of people did, and those people are really smart and they look really good now. But like, where is the depth going to come from? Yes, your prospect will be top 5 in baseball. Then eventually those guys graduate. And then what? Yeah. Like they still haven't shown an ability to churn and create some depth with those prospects.
That's
like
why that, today in the draft matters and next year in the draft matters. And Josh Barfield better be good at his job and the scouting guys that they've brought in and some of the minor league coordinator that they brought in better be good at their jobs. And of course, that would just be happenstance if Jerry happened to let the right Nepo baby have the job in Chris Getz this time around. Woof.
Let's make this sporting event tonight even more watchable. Next on The Score.
A new era of Bears football begins with the most anticipated training camp ever. And The Score will be there for every moment.
Danny Parkins here, Matt Spiegel.
Parkins and Spiegel show flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
About 50,000 folks here and many, many millions more watching on television. And tonight the stars are going to shine on a stage unlike any other in sports. And tonight, baseballs will take flight. An amazing field of 8 competing for the 2023 Home Run Championship. That one's a little further back. There goes another one towards deck number 2.
Oh, my!
Vlad Guerrero Jr. will hang on and win the 2023 T-Mobile Home Run Derby.
All right, we got to make this event fun. It's fun on its own.
It is fun on its own.
It drags a little bit.
Yeah, it's. I've heard that it's awesome in person. I've never been to one in person. I've heard it's a great, great family thing to go to.
Yeah, again, they pulled my credentials in 2012. I wasn't able to go.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It'll be back to Wrigley in a few years. I'm confident that it'll be back to Wrigley in a few years, and I'm confident we'll be able to go to that one. But I did get that question off. That question brought me a lot of street cred in Kansas City. But you said earlier in the show that you were going to make a bet and let Tanny free roll on.
Yes, I did. And Tanny, I placed a bet for us. I'll call it for us. $20 at plus 1500 on Jose Ramirez to win the home run derby.
So 20 bucks to win 300.
Yes, sir.
So does Tanny have 50% of the bet?
He does.
So that you're free rolling 150 bucks on Jose Ramirez.
So we can watch tonight and know that 150 bucks is yours if Jose Ramirez gets it done.
All right, that being said, I did randomize the order. I assigned each of us a number, held it behind my back, had recently traded Robbie Triano, select a number, and then that person was next, you know?
In our defense, we needed that promotions person to be named later.
Yeah, we won that trade.
We did. So the order for today, are we picking one or two? Because there's four of us and there are eight competitors. Okay, so the order is Tanny, Danny, myself, Speaks. That's how it came out randomly.
Okay, so my bet can be different. My bet can be separate.
But for this show, Tanny, Danny, me, Speaks.
Okay. Go ahead, Tanny.
With the first pick, you know, I will allow Speaks to hopefully be able to get his guy later on. I've always been a fan of the stoic, old school power hitter disciple of Paul Konerko, Pete Alonso. I know that, you know, so I'll take Pete Alonso as my number one pick here. Yeah.
Good choice.
All right. I will root for my friends in Kansas City, and it'd be really cool if the fastest guy in baseball also won the home run derby, and he's got crazy natural power. So I will take the third favorite on the board, but just because he's the guy I want to root for, Bobby Witt Jr.
Okay, and I will cite Ken Griffey Jr. talking about stamina, and I will take the youngest player on the board, the one with the most energy and legs right now, in Gunnar Henderson.
Nice pick. All right, fourth, I can't believe Jose Ramirez, my guy Joe Ram.
Joe Ram.
Joey Ram.
Joe Ram. Bam-a-lam, Joe Ram. I'll take Jose Ramirez.
Okay.
The wraparound.
Yep. Oh, I get the wrapper. I'm very excited.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to go with the guy who is nicknamed after a light bulb because that is the shape of his head. And he gets to do this in front of the hometown fans. Last year's postseason hero. He rises to the occasion. Give me Adolis Garcia of the Texas Rangers.
And I will take Teoscar Hernandez because that's not a real name. You cannot be named Teoscar.
He is.
No.
He did. Didn't ask
we
you.
We want Taylor or Oscar. I got it, honey.
Hey, Oscar.
I will then take the next favorite on the board, the fourth favorite. I'll take Marcelo Ozuna for value. Yeah, value. Fourth favorite,
and
the seventh.
And he's just a good guy.
Yeah, seems good.
Yeah. So that leaves me. Remember when Rick Hahn laughed off those rumors of Marcelo Ozuna? Sketchy rumors there.
Yes.
Like they're like, oh, anyway. So that leaves me with a name who makes me laugh when I hear it because it was Pat Hughes' basketball nickname, Gunner.
No, he's gone.
He's gone.
No,
Who picked Gunner?
Yeah, that was my second pick.
I thought you picked Teoscar. Who picked Teoscar?
You got both of them.
Gunner was my first pick.
You got both.
You got Alec.
Two rounds in this trap.
Alec Boehm. I love that guy. He had a rough moment in Philly where it seemed like he had an I hate it here moment.
Yes.
And then he rebounded from that.
Yes.
And he's had a nice little career for himself over there.
Alec Boehm. I liked your intro to Gunnar Henderson better, though.
Yeah, so I should be able to take him.
That was a good lead up to that non-pick.
Hey, do you want him?
I don't care about any of this. Yeah, I wanted Jose Ramirez from the beginning, and now we've done this whole thing.
No, you got a free roll on Jose Ramirez. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My money's more valuable than content. But Shane,
yes,
I want to extend you the same thing.
Sure.
So who would you like a $10 free roll bet on?
Oh, wow. $10 free roll bet on who is the second least likely to win the home run derby?
Jose Ramirez.
Who is the third least likely to win the home run derby?
Teoscar Hernandez.
I want Gunnar Henderson.
All right, so you want to win 38 bucks?
No, I want more than that. I'm going to Greece in a month. I need more than that. All right, so who's the least likely? Is it Alec Boehm? All right, let's do Alec Boehm.
So
he's got the most colorful lips on any baseball player I've ever seen. Bright pink lips.
So if Alec Boehm wins the home run derby, you get 220 bucks from me.
I would love that. If he doesn't, I'll give you 10.
You don't need to give me 10.
I know, I don't need to. I want to.
It's what a free roll is.
I want to.
Okay.
Well, I'll buy you an orange juice.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I will not start drinking
coffee. That would be good.
So you guys, Shane, you're rooting for Alec Bohm for money,
yep.
But Teoscar Hernandez and Gunnar Henderson for pride.
For pride, yeah, okay. And baseball skill.
Tanny, you're not caring about any of it.
For you, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Joe Ram, our guy Joe Ram.
I am rooting for him because he's probably my favorite non-White Sox player in baseball.
I know. He's one of the best players in baseball. He can do absolutely everything. And just a complete stud. And he lost to Juan Soto by one home run with a broken thumb. Thumb's healed. He's going to choose to homer a lot.
That seems just like a good value. Choice. He's running the home run play?
Yeah, he's going to run that play a lot tonight. Man. Over and over.
Good event to do it.
Yeah.
Can you get a White Sox coach to throw to him?
That would help.
He's got White Sox cap on. We'll be launching him out of there.
Oh, God.
Council called the home run play yesterday. I thought it was smart.
Yeah, it
was managing.
Good play.
Yeah.
Excellent play.
Home run derby is just a weird event. It peaks early when the guys have maximum. The biggest rounds are usually the first rounds, and then the finals, they kind of limp to the finish.
Well, they changed the format a little bit.
They changed the format every year.
I know they did. Tonight, all eight hitters will go in that first round in a different way. So they're not going against each other. They'll
reseed?
They'll reseed after all eight of them go.
So it's like the three-point contest where everybody shoots and then the top scores advance.
Correct.
So it's not matchup-based.
Yeah.
So they literally change the rules to this thing every single year.
And nobody cares.
Right.
What are you guys going to do after the home run derby? Anything you're watching?
Going to watch our friend Ryan Dempster and Sierra Santos as they call the celebrity softball.
Let's be honest, folks. We play an NCAA on Xbox tonight. I'm not even going to watch this.
Hell yeah. Good for you, man.
No.
What a holiday.
It's the second greatest sporting event in the calendar year outside of the Super Bowl. Celebrity softball.
I don't even think that's hyperbole.
Next year, we should do picks. We should do celebrity picks for the celebrity softball game. Do a whole segment.
I'm just glad JoJo Siwa is no longer there. God, she's annoying as hell, dude.
She's got a lot going on.
She's got a lot going on.
Is Jenny Finch pitching again?
Every year, Jenny Finch.
It's her
is
Super Bowl.
Yeah, it is. No more JoJo Siwa.
Thank you to Ryan Dempster. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lampka, Twitch chat, video stream. Thank you, sirs. Shane Reeder and our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill making us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Hi, everyone. I just want to reach out and let you know that I just realized that I'm not going to be able to continue. I loved it, and I know you loved it. And I just wanted to let you know that I won't be returning. And I love the relationship we've been able to develop.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.